The Supreme Court's decision last week invalidating the death penalty for the retarded saw Justice Antonin Scalia in a familiar place, angrily denouncing his colleagues for their decision. Justice Scalia often has been at odds with the court and with other judges over capital punishment. Earlier this year, he suggested in a speech that any judge who believes the death penalty to be immoral should resign from the bench. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
In an address to a conference on the death penalty at the University of Chicago Divinity School, Justice Scalia spoke as a judge and as a Catholic. He acknowledged that death penalty cases are different from other major controversies the courts handle. When dealing with abortion or legalized suicide, he said, the courts are not acting as the last instrument to impose death, for these issues involve only private individuals whom the state has chosen not to restrain.
With the death penalty, on the other hand, I am part of the criminal law machinery that imposes death.
And a judge who cannot, in essence, oil the machinery of death, he said, should leave the bench.
In my view, the choice for the judge who believes the death penalty to be immoral is resignation, rather than simply ignoring duly enacted constitutional laws and sabotaging the death penalty. He has, after all, taken an oath to apply those laws, and has been given no power to supplant them with rules of his own. Of course, if he feels strongly enough, he can go beyond mere resignation and lead a political campaign to abolish the death penalty. And if that fails, lead a revolution. But rewrite the laws, he cannot do.
I'm not about to lead a revolution, but I am about to continue to oppose the imposition of the death penalty.
Judge Gerald Haney has served for 35 years on the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals.
I'm not as eloquent as Justice Scalia. He's very eloquent, but I couldn't disagree with him more.
Haney, whose court oversees cases in Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, and Arkansas, says he's voted to sustain the death penalty during his tenure as a federal judge, but only very rarely. The reason he does not is that he believes the death penalty to be inherently discriminatory, that imposition of capital sentences is not based on rationality, but on where the crime is committed, who the prosecutor is, the race or gender of the victim, the race or gender of the murderer, and whether the defense lawyer, public or private, is well-trained and up to handling a capital case. By way of example, he says,
if you look at the murder cases in Arkansas where the death penalty is asked for and compare it with those cases where it isn't asked for. In many cases, the crime was more heinous where they didn't ask for the death penalty.
Haney, appointed to the bench by President Johnson, wrote all of this in a letter to Justice Scalia, a letter in which he observed that he, like Scalia, is a practicing Catholic. Whether any other judges actually wrote to Scalia is unknown, but many, both liberal and conservative, disagree with the justice. Some, like the late Supreme Court Justices Brennan, Marshall, and Blackmun, over time came to view the death penalty as unconstitutional and routinely voted against its imposition. Some, like several of the current members of the Supreme Court, find the death penalty troubling but have routinely upheld it as constitutional under settled principles of law. Judge John Noonan, a Reagan appointee to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California and also a practicing Catholic, has written and spoken about his view that both abortion and the death penalty are immoral. And yet he, along with many other judges of similar views, Catholic and non-Catholic, have not felt compelled to leave their judicial positions. Wrote Judge Noonan, the federal courts, sticking to their role, say nothing as to the rightness or wrongness of the penalty inflicted. It is hard to dispute, though, that judges with doubts about the morality of the death penalty are more open to arguments that a particular death sentence was arrived at improperly. But should they overstep, they're subject to the wrath and reversal of the Supreme Court. These judges, indeed probably most judges, fall into the category of a judge who believes that, as the Supreme Court has said, the Constitution is a living document, that its ban on cruel and unusual punishment is to be evaluated by modern standards, or, as the Court has put it, by evolving standards of decency. Justice Scalia does not subscribe to that legal view.
The Constitution that I interpret and apply is not living, but dead, or, as I prefer to call it, enduring. It means today not what current society, much less the court, thinks it ought to mean, but what it meant when it was adopted.
And since the death penalty existed when the Constitution was adopted, it can hardly be viewed as cruel and unusual punishment. In his speech, Justice Scalia acknowledged that decreeing death, as he does, involves moral choices.
When I sit on a court that reviews and affirms capital convictions, I am part of, quote, the machinery of death, close quote. My vote, when joined with at least four others, is, in most cases, the last step that permits an execution to proceed. I could not take part in that process if I believed what was being done to be immoral.
The death penalty is undoubtedly wrong, said Scalia, if viewed as an individual matter. But for the government, it is not wrong. Citing St. Paul, he said,
government derives its moral authority from God. It is the minister of God with powers to revenge, to execute wrath, including even wrath by the sword, which is unmistakably a reference to the death penalty.
That was the consensus of Western thought until quite recent times, said Scalia, but
that consensus has been upset by the emergence of democracy. It is easy to see the hand of Almighty God behind rulers whose forebears, deep in the mists of history, were mythically anointed by God. It is much more difficult to see the hand of God behind the fools and rogues, as the losers would have it, whom we ourselves elect to do our own will. How can their power to avenge, to vindicate the public order, be any greater than our own?
So it's no accident, contended Justice Scalia, that the modern view that the death penalty is immoral is centered in the West, because the West is the domain of democracy.
The more Christian a country is, the less likely it is to regard the death penalty as immoral. Abolition has taken its firmest hold in post-Christian Europe and has least support in the church-going United States. I attribute that to the fact that for the believing Christian, death is no big deal. For the non-believer, on the other hand, to deprive a man of his life is to end his existence. What a horrible act.
Scalia's interpretation of history is disputed by a number of death penalty experts and historians who believe that the European countries got rid of capital punishment largely in reaction to the slaughter of World War II. Indeed, the Catholic Church now formally opposes capital punishment. Justice Scalia, in his speech, noted, accurately, that the encyclical is not binding on church adherents. Thus, said Scalia, he is free to and has rejected the church's decree on the death penalty. Indeed, he argued, if retribution is the only purpose of a punishment, then perhaps only the death penalty is the appropriate punishment for some crimes. After all, the more humane a prison system is,
the less adequate a substitute for the death penalty it is. I mean, Devil's Island might be as bad as getting your head chopped off, but certainly not residence in a modern penal institution with a television set.
That's not to say, added Scalia, that he favors the death penalty.
It is only to say that I do not find the death penalty immoral. I am happy to have reached that conclusion because I like my job and would rather not resign.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.